The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
So this morning, Matthew 6, 19 through to 24, the subtitle of today's message is X Marks the Spot. So I want you to have a look at this great little bumper I found during the week. X marks the spot, and I love the little bit in that bumper where you can just hear him breathing, because chasing after X's is so exhausting. He was like so exhausted doing that. Well, I love that bumper because I can relate to it in so many different ways. Not the dying bit at the end. I thought that was a bit harsh. But I love chasing the X. I love picking up the latest JB Hi-Fi magazine. And you know that magazine you get in the junk mail? I love flicking through that. And I love getting my black texter out and placing big X's on that latest piece of technology. And from there, I will pursue that X. And I'll be digging and I'll be looking for it until I find that treasure. And then when I emerge from that hole, I'm exhausted, but I see another X, and so I chase after that, and I dig there, and then I find treasure, and then someone comes along and they do what? They steal it. I remember one Sunday night, we used to have a young adult service many moons ago called Sunday Night Live, and I'm here, I'm preaching my heart out, and while I'm here preaching my heart out, some person was breaking into my office. And they stole my laptop, and that was something that I enjoyed. It was great. Great to have a laptop. It was back, you know, when laptops were relatively kind of new, back in the dark ages. And but the thing is, that wasn't the thing that I was kind of like, oh, man. The thing that I was most upset about is that on that laptop was basically all of Noah's baby pictures. And we lost pretty much all of Noah's baby pictures when he was young. We've got plenty of Lewis, we've got plenty of Jackson, but there's just this gap now of family photos for us with Noah. Now, spewing, right? And I think we all know what that feels like. We've all been victims of people who have decided that they need your ex more than you need your ex. We've all experienced that. Our treasures get stolen. I remember when we were growing up and we used to ask each other, you know, when you grow up, what sort of car are you going to drive? And I remember saying to my mates, well, I am going to have three. I'm going to have a Subaru WRX for when I want to go sideways. I'm going to have a SS Commodore when I want to go fast and loud. And then I'm also going to have a Land Cruiser, a Toyota Land Cruiser, for when I want to be king off the road. And I think about that now and I think, you know, we all have dreams about what types of cars well, maybe not all of us, but some of us do, maybe more the male population here this morning. But the reality is there was three. I wasn't happy with one X. I wanted three X's. I mean, that's a little bit greedy, isn't it? My latest thing is searching for vintage treasures. And again, you might sit there and think, this guy's weird, you know, he wants three cars and he enjoys picking through people's junk. And that's, I don't know, I am weird maybe, but I love wading through rusty junk to find that hidden X. In January, I was privileged to have a look through through a farm that had literally thousands and thousands of dollars of rusty gold, vintage tractors, old signs, petrol bowsers, old garage stuff. And I remember thinking to myself as I was digging through all of that rusty treasure, I'm thinking, I am in rusty heaven. I'm in vintage heaven here. This is fantastic. And then the Spirit of God reminded me of three things. The first thing that he reminded me of is this is far from heaven. The second thing that he reminded me of is rust, even though that it's trendy today, it's like a cancer and it is slowly destroying all of this stuff that I was wading through. And thirdly, you can't, Rod, you can't take this stuff with you into eternity. And it was like a bit of a, wake up, buddy. And this sounded exactly like the Word of God that we will read today. The Message version actually says, don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths, corroded by rusty gold, or worse, stolen by burglars. So this morning, X marks the spot. Today, I want us to metaphorically pull out the map of our spiritual lives. I want us to, like what that picture has in front of you there, pull out the map of your life. And I want us to take an honest look at the X's that are there. You know, that picture's got one, two, three, and then a big red X. What X's are on your spiritual map today? What X's are you pursuing? What X's are you digging for? And as we ask those tough questions, as we get to the real heart of the matter, I wonder what the X's reveal about where your heart is today. This morning, as I've already said, we're going to look at six verses in Matthew. Matthew 6, 19 through to 24. And in these verses, Jesus, one thing I really love about Jesus is just talk straight. You know, just tell it how it is. And so he gets right to the heart of the matter and he preaches about a number of everyday concerns that have the potential to deter us or to deter his disciples from undivided loyalty to the kingdom and its righteousness. So let's have a read. Em's going to read and you can follow along with Em up on the screen. Thanks, Em.
Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Thanks, Sam. It's the word of the Lord this morning. I'd like to spit. I do a lot of that when I preach, but I'd like to split this into three. You know, there's very, very obvious three segments there. And so the first part that I want us to look at is the two treasures of the heart. And verse 19 says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. And then it goes on, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Firstly, I want to say that this thing of the two treasures of the heart, they cause us tension. And it's often, I've often through this series, I've heard the different speakers talk about the tensions that are in the air when Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. There are tensions here. And I don't know about you, but every time we talk about money in the context of our kingdom lives, there is tension. Now, money, wealth, and possessions have at least three primary purposes in the Scriptures, and I want to just share with you those three things. The first thing is to give appropriate care for one's own family. So we're encouraged in the Scriptures, and there's a whole heap of Scriptures there to back this up, that we're encouraged with what we've been given, our resources, to give appropriate care for one's own family. Before we move on, Soph, in 1 Timothy 5:8, it actually says this, and anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Again, there is a scripture that just gets straight to the heart of the matter. If you're not doing this, it's not good. The second thing is to help those who are in need, especially the family of faith. So we're called to use our resources and what God has given us to bless the poor, to bless the marginalized, to bless those in our church who are in need. And there's a whole heap of scriptures there. And then the third thing is to encourage and support God's work in spreading the gospel of the kingdom, both at home and around the world. And that's why we take up an offering each week. And there's a number of different scriptures to back that up. Three primary purposes of the use of our resources in Scripture. But I would like to add a 3.1. Okay, and that 3.1, and this I think is one of those sort of tension verses where it says in 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. There's no tension there. Who richly provides us with everything for our... Does anyone know how that ends? For our enjoyment. For joy. But the tension is, how much is too much? How much joy is too much joy in the context of talking about our resources in our kingdom lives? And I guess that's the tension that we all live with. And I guess that's between you and the Spirit of God, and you figure out where that place is. You know, these scriptures encourage us to be wise about how we steward our resources and finances here on this earth. These scriptures encourage us to be kingdom stewards. Stewards who invest in the kingdom of God. But earthly treasures are very attractive. Am I the only one where earthly treasures are attractive? They are. They're tempting. And I think it's worth naming why we like to pursue these earthly treasures over heavenly treasures. You know, five things very quickly. We pursue some of these earthly treasures for security. We want to know we're taken care of. So what brings us the greatest security of life and soul is to have material security. So we work our backsides off to do that. The next thing is personal worth. We think it's going to bring us personal worth or self-esteem and or personal value. Material possessions and wealth often indicate that people are successful. You know, we look at people who are like this and we think, man, they've done well with their life. We feel good about ourselves if we dress, we drive, we dine, and our houses are decorated like those that are on the block. The next thing is power. With wealth and material success, we believe that we can have and get what we want. Wealth gives us control over our fate, and it also can help us to control those people around us. The next thing is independence. With wealth, I can be my own small g god and not rely or not have to rely on anything or anyone else. And then lastly, pleasure. We think that the earthly X's in our lives will bring us pleasure. With wealth, we can indulge in every fantasy, whether it's an exotic vacation or a holiday, the luxurious wedding, the finest dining, and some of the most decadent things that this world has to offer. I think it's worth naming those things, church. Five things that are very tempting and very attractive. So having said all that, what does Jesus do? Jesus encourages us to store up treasures where? In heaven. In heaven. So that got me thinking, well, what are heavenly treasures? Turn to the person next to you, just very quickly, and just say to them, well, I think a heavenly treasure is... Right now, let's go. Turn to the person next to you. Now, Jesus actually doesn't sort of explain or expand on this concept of earthly treasures. But from the scriptures, from history, we can conclude that it has to do with all of the things that we've already looked at in this series, the Sermon on the Mount. So, you know, David last week encouraging us to be people who forgive. It's about relationships. It's about loving our enemies. It's forgiving those who trespassed against us. It's a hug. It's a listening ear. It's an encouraging note. It's an act of service. It's self-sacrifice. It's meeting people's needs in our community and outside the world, the walls of our community. It's about sharing Christ with those around us, where God has you placed, in your workplace, your uni, your family, sharing, helping people find and follow Him. It's about pursuing your kingdom life. And all of these things, every single one of them, and much, much more, bring life. They bring life, they give transformation, and they will echo into eternity. That, church, is all about heavenly treasures. They're our heavenly X's. And then Jesus wraps this all up in verse 21 by saying, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, when you metaphorically take up out the map of your life and you look at that map, X marks the spot. X marks the spot. And what you do with those X's reveal where your heart is today. Let's move on. Verse 22 goes on and it says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So part two this morning is the two eyes of the heart. You know, church, the eyes are known as the conduit to the inner person. And the reality is that there are two types of eyes. There's a healthy eye and there's an unhealthy eye. The healthy eye is undividedly focused and fixed on God and His kingdom purposes. That's a healthy eye. And the unhealthy eye is a heart with darkness. An eye that fills the heart with darkness. There's two types of eyes. The message says, if you live squinty-eyed in greed and in distrust, your body is a dank cellar. Anyone ever been into a dank cellar? That smell of mold and just yuck. If you pull the blinds on your windows, the windows of your eyes, what a dark life you will have. What the message says. You know, can you relate to this idea of the two eyes of the heart? Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? You know, I certainly can relate to this. You know, I've experienced dark moments in my journey. And those dark moments usually can be categorized by the fact that I have willingly and disobediently chosen to focus on dark things. That's my reality. And when I do that, darkness floods my heart, darkness floods my life and my soul. Not a great place to be in. But I've also experienced, as the message says, if you open your eyes in wonder and belief, so if you open up your eyes to allow the light of God to come in, your body fills up with light. I don't know about you, I know which one I prefer. So simply, what are you looking at? Your eyes are a conduit to your heart, to your soul. Are your eyes healthy or unhealthy? This affects our heart. This affects who we are in Christ. Let's move on to verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Third part today is the two masters of the heart. So what are these two masters that I'm kind of referring to here? Well, the first master is the kingdom. It's the King of Kings and it's the Lord of Lords. It's the big K of kings. And the second master is the master of this world, the evil one, and all of the temptations that go with that. You know, as I was reading and preparing for today, I came across this quote, and it was difficult for me to figure out who had said it because it was in a commentary, but a smart person said this, okay? Many perceptive observers have sensed that the greatest danger of Western Christianity is not, as sometimes alleged, prevailing ideologies such as Marxism, Islam, the New Age movement, or humanism, but rather the all-pervasive materialism of our affluent culture. We try so hard to create heaven on earth and to throw in Christianity when convenient as another small addition to this so-called good life. Jesus proclaims that unless we are willing to serve Him wholeheartedly in every area of life, but particularly with our material resources, we cannot claim to be serving Him at all. Amen? Challenging. But I think He's onto something. And I think the Scriptures back this up this morning. You know, church, ultimately we have one choice. A kingdom life that is devoted to God, a life of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind and strength, or a worldly life that gets eaten by moths, corroded by rust, or even worse, stolen by burglars. Jesus finishes his sermon with this. You cannot serve both God and money. This is a call to one-eyed devotion. This is a challenge for us this morning. Again, for us to make a choice. It's up to you. So as we land today's message, as we wrap up this morning, I want to give you just a few moments to reflect, a little bit of space. So you might like to just bow your head. You might like to close your eyes so that you just block out the distractions over these next few moments. And my prayer is that you just simply focus. Focus on what the Spirit of God is saying to you today. Maybe it was a line out of a song that we sang, that we worshipped together. Maybe it was a word in one of the verses. Maybe it's something that I said. Two treasures, two eyes, two masters. It's our choice. This morning I want you to metaphorically take hold of that map called your life, or called what we like to call it, our kingdom life. And I want you to honestly look at where the X's are. What do they reveal about your heart? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. X marks the spot. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. You cannot serve both God and money. Where are those X's, church? As you take an honest look, maybe some of them need to be scrubbed out. Maybe some of them need to be shifted. Maybe slightly shifted, or maybe massively shifted. Maybe you need to move them into just a new place altogether. Maybe in a place that will mean that you are investing in treasures in heaven. Maybe you need to move an X or put an X somewhere where you will dig for the truth. Maybe you need to focus on something else. Maybe you, choices. Maybe you need to choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And my prayer is that you would live out and say what Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, where he says, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." X marks the spot. What can we do practically from here? I just want to leave you with three things as we move into the rest of our day and into this new week. Can I encourage you, firstly, can I encourage you to get serious about your kingdom life? Root one in our discipleship tree, which is on the right-hand side as it comes up on the screen. That root is all about taking responsibility for my own spiritual development. Can I encourage you to get a big black texter out and put an X on that root? Put an X there. And then carve out some time in your busy schedule, we're all busy, to spend some time with Jesus and to ask the Spirit of God to help you put together a spiritual development plan for this year. Or what we like to call our kingdom life plan, which is essentially an intentional, prayed out plan to help us grow as disciples of Jesus. This weekend, Matt's been away with, I think, 8 people who have been on our very first SR1 spiritual retreat. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we're going to get them up and tell you how awesome it was. Because it was good, wasn't it? Maybe as you sit down with Jesus and the Spirit begins to speak to you, maybe he's just saying, do one thing this year. Go on a retreat. Carve out some time for me. Or maybe come to church every week this year. Don't see church as just an added extra. Maybe get in a small group. Do a course. Talk to your friends about spiritual things rather than, you know, SS Commodores and WRXs, things that matter, or maybe start sowing into the mission of helping people find and follow Jesus in this place. So that's the first thing. Can I encourage you to get serious about your kingdom life? The second thing is, if you have never decided to follow Jesus Christ, can I encourage you today to get out your black texter, put a mark. X marks the spot. Can I encourage you to choose Jesus? Today you have the opportunity to do that. And an X represents not scrubbing out Jesus, it actually represents the day that you chose to dig for heavenly treasure. Treasures that will echo into eternity. The day you chose to follow Jesus. So can I encourage you, you know, you might have been part of our church for some time and you've just been like, where does Jesus fit? Can I encourage you, before you go today, if the Spirit of God has been knocking at the door of your heart Let him in. Let him in. And we would love, before you go today, to have a conversation with you, to pray with you, to give you resources that will help you start on your kingdom journey. So please make the most of that. And thirdly, there's going to be opportunity for prayer. Church, I think I say this nearly every week, but there is no shame in asking for someone to pray for you. In this kingdom, in the kingdom of God, remember, we actually fight. We don't fight flesh and blood. We don't fight with hand grenades and rocket launchers. We fight on our knees. So there is no shame in asking for prayer. Can I encourage you, have the courage, if that's you, to seek someone out. There's going to be people here who would love to pray with you. Let's pray, church. Enough from me. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for such a challenging word to us today. Lord, I pray that you would lead us by your Spirit as we look at what it means for us to live out these things in our everyday lives. Holy Spirit, give us the strength and change what needs changing and give us the courage to pursue this kingdom life with all we have. Lord, I want to specifically pray for those who are here this morning who have not yet decided to follow you. I pray that you would continue to knock at the door of their hearts, and I pray that they would see that you are the treasure that they have been digging for, that they have been looking for. I pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.